Welcome to Blind Submissions, where DIY bands submit songs for us to listen to and react to blind. Every week, we'll bring a guest from the underground music, arts, or entertainment scene to help you sort through mountains of new music. We go in blind, so you don't have to. Blind Submissions.
Blind Submissions!
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to today's episode of...
Blind Submissions.
We got a high-energy, low-energy situation here.
Bringing it in hot today, baby.
I'm high-energy.
I'm having trouble waking up. I'm usually up and at 'em by, 7 a.m. And by now, it's 11 o'clock. So everybody knows what time we're recording.
On your third meal of the day.
Yeah.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody retroactively. Well, actually, it'll still be Memorial Day if I manage to get this out tomorrow.
Are we going to publish this on a holiday?
We are, yeah.
Wow.
Fuck it. I don't have to work.
So fancy.
So.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Happy.
That's our gift to you.
Yes. You get to hear our silky smooth tones.
Ah, yes.
So what's the deal? What did we do yesterday?
Oh, shit.
that's why
I'm so tired.
That's why you're drained.
I was wing wrangling.
Yeah, day one of
anime.
Taking our kids back to cosplay and anime convention for the first time. And it's a big one.
It's a really big one.
I looked up the numbers. The last year we went, 2019, they said 33,000 people went.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Felt like more than that to
God,
me
it felt
yesterday.
Like twice that yesterday.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big anime cosplay conference in downtown San Jose that's been going on for, God, I don't know.
A long time.
A decade, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
I think so.
Maybe more.
And
I don't know.
Our kids made elaborate costumes.
Whew,
and JD spent his day wrangling two kids with really wide wings.
Yeah.
And if you've never been to an anime in a cosplay convention, the whole point of making a costume is so people will stop you and want to take your picture
or take
a picture with you. So it's basically we were like bodyguards
just
all
day. Bodyguards.
And the only request we got was please keep the neck beards away from us. Yeah. I think is what my daughter said.
That was exactly keep the neck beards away.
I was like, including us.
Yeah, we don't want any of the creepers.
I think technically we are the neck beards.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it was awesome. I mean, and they absolutely love it. All of our kids had very large costumes. Very close to not fitting through doors.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like hype man. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it was
tell them, JD.
It was great. It was great.
And we're going back as soon as we finish this.
Yeah, I've got to go in for day two.
I got to see and catch up with a friend, a long ago friend who I haven't seen, and I think he did the math like 16 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah, as a prop maker and costume builder who's one of the guests at the event. Hoku Props. Check him out if you're into costumes and that kind of shit.
H-O-K-U.
H-O-K-U Props on Instagram. He does some pretty fucking wild stuff.
Oh, yeah. Completely. Yeah,
like full armor sets and...
Yeah. One is LED that LED eyeball.
Oh yeah, he's missing an eye, so he took the opportunity to build a colored LED eyeball.
Take advantage of it.
So he built a cable costume. Cable has one eye that's like lit up, so he can actually do Cable with the full lit up eyeball.
That's crazy.
It's pretty dope.
Crazy.
Well, who's our guest today?
Who is our guest today?
I'll give you a hint. Corn.
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 Yeah, it's somebody that you have actually, if you've been listening to the show for a while, have heard us mention on multiple occasions.
Hundreds.
We finally get to meet him today. So, Justin Rogers.
Our good buddy Sweets.
AKA Sweets.
All right. Bass player for Disrupt the Paradigm.
I actually did.
You queued up some DTP?
I queued up some DTP.
All right, let's hear it, and we'll play him in.
So,
friend, local music fan, all around, hell of a fucking guy.
Yes.
And a ripping bass player. Actually owns one of my old basses. Welcome aboard, Justin. And there he is.
Oh!
Played in with some Disrupt the Paradigm. What's up, Sweets?
Howdy, howdy.
Yeah, have you ever heard of that band?
Pretty good. What now?
I said, have you ever heard of that band, Disrupt the Paradigm?
Oh.
They're pretty good.
They're okay. The bass player's a dickhead.
He's a dickhead?
Most bass players are.
This is true.
Watch most bass players quit most bands and then watch most bands fall apart.
Yeah.
Because no one does anything. Right?
Then they blame it all on the singer.
Yeah. Well, it's probably his fault.
Well, it's true. The singer really doesn't do anything. So,
how are you doing this fine Sunday morning here? We know it's Memorial Day weekend, so we've tipped our hat that we're just recording a day in advance of publishing. What are you up to? You
know, I'm doing all right. I'm just kind of hanging out at home with the pup. I might be boxing a fly pretty soon that won't leave me alone, but.
Those little fuckers can be pretty gnarly.
So annoying.
They're annoying because I don't have a doggy door, so I have to keep the back door open so Layla can run in and out and be mad at me that I'm ignoring her.
Yes. So are you saying you have a pit bull who demands a lot of attention? Never heard of such a thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think our dog
barks. He just whines a lot, though.
Oh, well, you're lucky there. My dog has 18 different barks and will bark at anything. My dog has a special bark that means please cover me with a blanket, and I'm not shitting you at all. JD has seen it.
It's true. This is
true. She like bares her teeth a little bit and does this like yay. It's like kind of high pitched thing. It's really weird. It's fucking strange, man.
Layla does a muted version of that. She just goes ah. It's like, what do you want? But I've ruined her because, like, as a puppy, I used to, like, talk to her in, like, death metal vocals. So she never knows when I'm fully mad at her or, like, when I'm playing video games or watching, like, television or being mad, like, working from home and, like, screaming at someone on an email. She thinks that, like, I'm wanting to play with her. And it's like, no, I gotta, damn it. But, like, yeah, I just be like, oh, fucking Layla. She's just all like tail waggy, like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Let's get this.
That's funny. That was pretty good death metal. You even got that like kind of gurgly sound that they get. I always wonder if that's an effect or if they actually like figure out how to make weird gurgling noises.
Probably a little column A and column B. Like with some people, I think that's where like the cupping of the mic comes from to like give it that more like.
Gets an echo, or it puts the mic in the put the mic in the basket.
Yeah,
mic in the basket.
But then you know, there's the people who like do vocal warm ups, and they know how to like move their tongue around and stuff, and they're like crazy Mike Patton people who did throat singing.
Yeah, they took the Art of Singing class and have the Art of Singing app on their phone, or the Art of Screaming.
Art of Screaming.
Yeah,
I bought that DVD when it first came out because I was like. 18 or whatever, and be like, yeah, I want to like be the backup baser screamer. Yeah.
I just had a strong desire to see you be the front man for a death metal band. No, don't play no bass for you. Just fucking wreck the stage and scream.
Yeah.
I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe pre-broken back Justin.
Okay.
Someone would I'd pull an Aussie. Someone would have to write my lyrics. And then I would just sit there and be like, yo, okay.
I'd get you in a chair and like get like a bitchin' wheelchair or something with like swords and shit and have somebody roll you around the stage.
Sadly, like we just played at the Caravan last Friday. And my back kind of gave out halfway through the first song and I BB Kinged it the whole night and just like sat down playing bass, hiding from everybody.
I still don't know if I'm going to be able to play a show and not fall over after last summer. I mean, honestly, like I'm actually practicing in practice playing standing up because I've mostly been sitting on a stool for the last like 6 to 9 months since my ear blew up. And so now it's just like, fuck, can I stand up and play a set without it? I only have problems if I move one way and look the other way, if I like disorient myself. So I have to like totally rework how I deal with being on stage because I'm definitely going to face plant on my pedal board at some point.
Hey, it's cool. It's good for stories.
Yeah.
People will be like, remember that time when the bassist from Kook fell into his pedalboard? That was fucking rad, man. That guy's hardcore.
Well, shit, man. Like, there was a, like, I made a save one time. We were on tour and Troy bumped me and I went off balance enough that I had to step forward, but I was about to step on the monitor. So I had to actually leap over the monitor and then land on the floor, which was like 3 or 4 feet down. There's no way I'd be able to pull that off now. Troy bumps me, I'm fucking toast. Down. I'm going down. Done.
That sounds like us every time we play at the X-Bar or at Toots. Like, there's so many of us, especially back with... Oh, no, because kind of Kevin has replaced Jeff, as in, like, both Jeff and I were the biggest dudes in the band with the smallest amount of gear. Like, Jeff would play... He played this little small teeny drum set, but like Kevin has this
giant,
bigger, decent sized kit compared to the two bands we played with, the Caravan on Friday. He had the small kit, but yeah, like, because people brought like double kicks to the Caravan. They brought their full stacks, and it's like, yeah, come on, guys.
Well, some people, that's just the ethos, right? When Toke played there. Like, they rolled all of that.
Played at the Caravan?
We ran a Toke show at the Caravan, and they brought all their gear. And they hung out at Music Inc. and did, like, a meet and greet beforehand.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to feed them, wow. So they just cruised by and hung out. Yeah, they were rad as hell. And fucking...
I mean, it's kind of like when Jucifer played at the Blanket Club. Like, we could hear... Because we were playing a show at the Van, Properner, and we could hear Jucifer...
Around the corner.
Really? Around the corner. And it was just, Jesus Christ, what is that?
Yeah. No, Toke was loud as fuck. And everybody, keep Tim in your thoughts. Actually, while I'm talking, so Tim Bryan, their guitar player, had a really horrible motorcycle accident mm-hmm. last year. And he is still very much in recovery. And they have set up an Instagram account that kind of keeps track of his recovery. So and has links to the GoFundMe and stuff. So if you're feeling generous or feeling inclined, I'll find the account and follow it and go. I'll find it later.
we'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about it. I just need to grab my phone because it's on there, which is sitting on the bed. All right.
Good job. But
yeah, he's like, he went from being like non-communicative in a coma to now being able to talk and move all his limbs. He's in a chair. His voice is like a low whisper. But man, fuck, he's come a long way. I've been following since the beginning.
That's crazy.
It's pretty incredible. And just think those guys just played a show at the Caravan. We're just going about their everyday lives, and then boom, everything just gets fucking blown up. And it wasn't his fault. Some asshole hit him, I'm pretty sure, is the story.
Didn't something like that also happen, like, maybe now it's 10 years ago? Didn't something like that happen to Tad?
I think so.
Oh, I don't remember that. Maybe.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, but I cannot.
You got into like a nasty motorcycle accident in like Oregon or some shit.
The location sounds right.
I know.
Pacific Northwest. Yeah.
I know he's up and doing well, and I know a bunch of people who have recorded with him in the not too, yes. Okay. You know, pretty recently. So yeah, he's definitely like doing good now.
Yeah.
Who recorded Sorcia? There were a few bands that I follow that have recorded with him lately.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He's doing a lot of production, I think.
It was Witch Ape Studios, I think, is the name of his recording studio, and you know, in Portland, I think, in Portland. All right. Well, so hey, we know Justin. You own one of my basses still. Do you still have the Modulus?
No, I
you
have
sold
the.
You sold.
I kept it for quite a while. I tried to use it. It was super rad. Like I'm.
Hey, I sold it. Don't worry.
I kind of kicking myself over it, but I just couldn't find. I tried to start using when I brought Jambi back during the pandemic, but because it was like, cool, this could be in standard tuning, and I can just finally try to learn B in a 5-string, but I'm too dumb.
You are not, Justin. But no, look, it's the same reason I sold all my fours. I just had to get real with myself and go like, you don't play these, so Let someone who's going to use them play it, have them. That's always my philosophy. It's if it's not getting used, unless it's like something super special, and I got to say, the Flea 5 is not super special to me.
And that's what they say. I just love
clothing. For me, I always wanted a Modulus, and it goes back to one of the earliest local shows that I went to. It was a Rivals Halloween show in Texas, or not Texas, in Gilroy.
That's our Texas.
Like
Gilroy. Stanford,
I was that's way our off. Texas. But I don't know why I was thinking of that. Anyway, at the Gilroy Gaslighter, and the opening band was Clearing Autumn Skies, and they opened the show, and like within the first 30 seconds of them playing, the singer and the bass player both do front flips into the crowd.
Oh shit!
And they caught the bassist.
Oh.
He didn't catch the singer. He cracks his skull open. Oh. And like he's bleeding, he wraps another band's t-shirt around his head, completes the whole show, and then goes straight to the hospital. It was like the best show opening I've kind of ever been to.
This is the first show you ever went to, is what you said?
No, it's one of the earliest shows I've ever went to.
Yeah.
And this is okay, it's 2022. I went to that show either in 2001. Or something like that, but like keep that as a memory. And you've played so Clearing Autumn Skies is this band. I believe I've talked to both of you guys on chat about this band. We'll kind of jump into the what's your favorite local band?
Local band. Local, all right, we'll do it early. Yeah, Justin knows the show format.
It's there. So it's either going to be like if it's on a local level, it would either be. Rivals or Clearing Autumn Skies for that specific reason, and also they're all really cool dudes. So you've played newer music from members that came from Clearing Autumn Skies. So you've played Cutworm, you've played Lament Cityscape, you've played,
yes.
So Dave Small, who's also now currently the touring bassist for Chemist, and Mike McClatchy, Peter Lehman. Right.
Yep. Definitely.
So it was like one of their, it was like their band in the early 2000s.
We got a bunch of, because isn't Kevin playing drums for Lord Dying now? Kevin from Forgotten Gods? Or maybe his name wasn't Kevin, the drummer. He's up in Portland now.
He's a Kevin as
Yeah,
well.
Okay. I thought he was a Kevin too.
He's playing for Lord Dying.
Yeah, he's playing drums for Lord Dying.
Oh.
He was, is he? Okay. Cause yeah, he's been playing for a couple of different bands. Cause when he went up there, he was playing with Tithe, which originally had Damon Scott. Dude from Neurosis Kit.
Yes.
Like they were in a band. He was originally in Stoneburner as well. They were in a band together.
Forgotten Gods is a band that I wish I could resurrect from.
That's another one of my favorite.
Yeah, locals.
Local bands.
If Dave ever starts playing music again, seriously.
Yeah, he's on the parental hiatus, right?
Yeah, he's on the parent. Oh, sorry. He's on the, he's the on parent pause.
The parent pause. Yeah.
Yeah. Great local guitar player, just so much flavor.
Yeah, I was stoked to be in a band with him for. A couple months.
A few months, yeah.
For like half a year or whatever. Like, High Sorcery was super fun.
Yeah, that band was ripping.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know the first time I walked in to see Forgotten Gods and Dave had the SG version of the Voodoo guitar that Carl plays. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to like this guy. Like, the people who bought those original ones before they changed the layout and the graphics on the on the fretboard. No, they sound so good. God, that guitar sounds so fucking good.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. A weird guitar too. So.
But you're from here. But I know you also spent time in Salt Lake. No. Right? You lived in Salt Lake for a while?
No.
No? I could have...
You're just making up Salt Lake facts.
No, I'm just Mormon.
Is that it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a currently non-practicing Latter-day Saint.
Oh. Yeah.
I was we got our situations. I lived down in Irvine for a couple months for work.
Okay. Maybe it was just me going,
oh, he must be from Utah.
He must be from Utah.
I just have too much knowledge of it because you
had so much knowledge about Utah. Okay.
Just my peoples.
Me making connections that just don't exist.
I did not know that. I'm sorry for every mean thing I've ever said about Mormons and Mormonism. Yeah.
No, you're fine.
No, you're right. No.
You're fine. You know, like with last week's episode, like that's still one of the shows that you guys were talking about, that one on Hulu with Andrew Garfield.
Under the Banner of Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still need to check that show out. Because it's always interesting, like, you know, being raised as one of those kids, like, you just like, oh, whatever. Why is everybody else doing weird things?
Yeah.
No. And weirdly being told, like, you're not Christian when Jesus Christ is literally in the fucking name.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing that people don't understand. And growing up in Utah... and knowing all of those types of Mormons, there are Utah Mormons, and there are all of the other Mormons, and there are like California Mormons, which are even like a sort of another sub sort of, and they're the ones that just go to a Mormon church, like that's it.
Yeah, like I'll tell you right now, I did the stuff that was on the documentary Religious, like that made it seem like kind of a cooler, weirder religion than the boring ass stuff that I got. I was like, dude, if I knew I was going to become a superhero or whatever, like I was going to be a part of the Asgardian fucking
I get to become a god and get my own planet. Oh shit.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop swearing. I'll stop drinking coke. Sure.
But like, I get to live in the Overvoid like all of my favorite Marvel heroes.
Yeah.
All the gods.
I'm a part of the multiverse.
Yeah, it's funny how close the Marvel universe and like the OG Mormonism is.
Yeah, you know, that's not how it was. It just seemed like basic church to me, except for we didn't drink wine. We just had water. We didn't. Whatever. This isn't religious talk.
Yeah.
It's just still a funny thing. Like, yeah.
So when did you start playing an instrument? So I know you, but I don't know like your history of what got you into listening to heavy music and playing it.
So, music's been around my family for forever. Like, especially my mom's side. My grandpa was, like he kind of like moonlighted as a stand-up bass player in the San Francisco Music Union while he was being a fire chief. So whenever like big bands would show up and they needed a bass player, he would go like, ah, shit. And like have to like relearn how to play like show tunes. One of my step uncle, no, half uncle, my grandpa's first kid from a different marriage that no one talks to, he was the original guitarist of Captain Beefheart.
Oh wow. It's fucking rad.
But again, we don't talk about Uncle Dick and there's
second kid's niece. No. What was that? No. I'm kidding. No.
my grandfather's son from a first marriage.
From a first marriage. Okay, there you go. It's like that's one of those like once removed type things, right? Like,
yeah.
But having Captain Beefheart DNA seems very appropriate.
That's
honestly,
that's a big DNA.
I, you know, like Frank Zappa and the Beefheart. Like, we didn't any of us kids, like we thought that was such a weird flex because it was like, who the hell is Captain Beefheart? But you know it. It is what it is. But I started playing music when I was probably like seven. something like that. Like in middle school, I started playing the saxophone, and then I
it's a gateway
over
to bass.
It's a gateway.
It's a gateway. And, that was my path too. Saxophone, oh, really? To bass. Oh yes.
And then you know, I looked over and I saw trumpet players. I was like, you guys only have three keys. Fuck all these notes, dude. So like, I got lazy. My parents liked me a lot more because they didn't have to buy reeds anymore. They're like, oh, you just need a bottle of oil to make your stupid thing work.
Sweet. And a spit cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like my brother, so my brother attempted to play bass to honor my grandfather after he died also. And a couple of us kids on my mom's side did, because, you know, and out of all of us, the one who originally didn't want to play music at all is the one who is now kind of a semi-famous musician. My cousin Shannon from
Shannon and the Clams.
Oh, that's your cousin?
That's his cousin.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I've seen you like post about them before, and I know who they are, and I love them. They're awesome. I had no idea Shannon was your cousin.
Yeah, she's my cousin, and it's she initially thought it was super weird, like how super into her band I was in, and it's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. This isn't my genre, but you guys make it work where it's not annoyingly hipster to me.
Yeah.
And I because I know all you people, I know it's more genuine than like the, you know, like, look at what we're doing. We're quirky.
It's so undeniably fun. So like I kind of put them in the same boat. Subject matter is different, but as Twin Temple, which is like the ghost of Shannon and the Clams, and that is all so disingenuous to me. I'm instantly bored.
I call Twin Temple shitty goth Shannon and the Clams.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like they're just not. It's not fun for more than about 10 seconds, and the music doesn't go anywhere. Like the Shannon and the Clams song's fucking bop. It's fucking great.
I think I like Twin Temple more than you do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're my favorite band by any means, but I can listen to that.
Wait until you go see them, though. Yeah. That was what broke me, honestly, and that's bad. Like, usually if I think a band's, like, kind of cool and I go see them live, I usually go, oh, fuck, yeah, like, I really like them. Yeah. Seeing them live, it was like, oh, this is hokey. the whole experience was too...
Trying too hard.
I thought they were trying too hard.
Yeah, it was a lot of try hard.
But what do I know? I'm the defender of nu metal still.
Yeah.
So like,
Korn.
You know, ooh. Like, anyway, but like, you know, and again, for my cousin's band, like it's so cool seeing like where they started. And like, I remember the first time they played San Jose to the Blank Club to nobody except for like me and my coworker.
Yeah.
To, in January, they sold out the Fillmore.
That's awesome. Like,
that's amazing.
You know, they're such a DIY, and they've done it themselves. You know, they're now signed to dude from the Black Keys record label, but they did it their way, and this and that. And you know, it's super cool, and they've been able to do the thing I wanted to do. So yeah. I wanted to show my fucking love.
Support them. Hell yeah. They got a blue check mark on Instagram. How about that?
Ooh. Yeah, fancy. They are big time. Damn.
No, that's killer.
That's crazy.
And then it you means switched
their to... opinion matters.
Yes. And then you switched to bass at some point here.
Yeah.
No more trumpet.
So then it kind of weirdly, it silly became a competition between me and my brother. So that's also where me getting into music happened. My brother would try things and be like, I bet I'm better than you at that. And then, like, so, like, and that's kind of where the only clout of my playing came was I just need to be better than my brother.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because he was the skinny one. I was always the dumb little fat kid, but, like, I was the funny one, this and that. He was still kind of, like, the skinny one that everybody more liked, but I was funny, and I was like, all right, I'm going to beat you, because just the brotherly camaraderie or whatever. And so he played trombone. He tried to play bass. I was like, okay, I can do that. And then I played bass a little bit in middle school, but then it wasn't until like high school I got a bass for my 16th birthday, something like that. Yeah. I was a sophomore. And that's it. It was so funny because so I'm left-handed also. And like my uncle is also a musician and this and that. Everyone's like, oh no, you need a left-handed instrument. But everyone hates left-handed people because at the time in 2000, it's like $100 more for a left-handed version of a bass.
Yep.
And this and that. So we're going to just force you to be right-handed. But like I immediately grab a right-handed, a regular bass, and I'm playing it like nobody's business. And they're like, wait a minute, that should be hard for you. It's like, I don't know. It works. It
just isn't.
Whatever. Like,
yeah.
That's so weird.
I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to play opposite. I've never even tried it. I feel like I could do it.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I've attempted, and like I don't know if it's also because like I used to mess around with drums. My dad had a drum kit, so like I played drums right-handed, but I would sometimes switch to attempt to do the ambidextrousness. But I don't know. It was just kind of it's what came natural.
Sounds like it's like the equivalent of somebody that skates goofy foot.
Or can skate both directions.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you think about it, in guitar, like your picking hand and your fretting hand are doing very different things.
Yeah.
But in reality, in bass, if you play fingerstyle, you're just going like this.
Yeah. You know,
a different.
Is that why everybody does that on the stage when somebody's ripping their guitar?
Yeah. Give me all the notes.
Those Gene Bowden type people who are just noodle tapping all over the place, which I attempt to do here and there.
Yeah. Justin will rip out some taps here and there. Yeah. He'll get freaky with it. I quit that in the early 90s when I was on my Les Claypool. And then I just like, I could never find a way to fit it into a song that I thought sounded good. So it was like, that's the trick. If you're not playing, like, it's not appropriate for all music. And so if you're like trying to cram it, like if I tried to cram it into a kook song, it'd be like, what the fuck is that? Unless I had like just a mountain.
Somewhere where you could cram it in.
If I had like a mountain of effects.
Experimental.
If I had a bunch of effects running and I just wanted to like make weird sounds, sure, then I'm all over it. In fact, I do, but.
Yeah, it kind of just becomes what's more important for the song.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I never figured out how to make it musical is all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
But so then I formed my first band with actually the Jerome or Len, the singer guitarist that's in Disrupt the Paradigm.
Mm.
So like we formed our first band, Shed, that didn't fully go anywhere. Like it was always a gestating thing through high school, but we never had a drummer or singer. We just had rotating dumb friends like, you're going to do this. And everyone's like, no, I got a girlfriend. That's way cool.
I got a girlfriend.
And it's just like, whatever. We're going to huddle up in our shed, drink stolen booze, and play video games and write songs because we're going to be those cool kids.
Those cool kids.
Pre a bunch of things the internet's now given us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Exactly. Where did the name, how did you get the name Sweets?
It initially started as people making fun of me in football when I was a freshman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had, so first, you know, it kind of changed from like the Sweet,
big, big, big. Oh, sweet.
I also had an Eric Cartman shirt that was him and his Beefcake when he was trying to work out and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would wear that to football practice when I wanted to attempt to do sports in high school. And so then it was like, you in and sweat, and like just making fun of me while I was like behind everybody running laps. And I also actually had a shirt that said sweet on it, but I refused, and I got it my eighth grade year. Because of South Park also.
Yeah.
But I refused to wear that shirt because it was like, nope, that's going to stick if it happens. And then one day I didn't do laundry and that was the only clean shirt I had. So I went to school and like the dudes who initially made fun of me, they're like, well, now that's your fucking name, dude.
Yeah.
And those are the people that kind of became my friends. there was a quick sergeant sweep for a minute because I wanted to be cool and wore like camo pants. And then the moment it was sergeant sweep, I was like, nope, return those.
Okay, wait. I'm forming up this vision of the band, and the band is called Sergeant Sweet. And you gotta bring the pants back, and you're the permanent opener for Arno Corps or whatever.
What?
It's a
Elon, you son of a bitch.
Every member dresses like a different Arnold Schwarzenegger character from his heyday.
This is a band?
Oh yeah, I think they're local even. And they'll play with like
they play around here all the time.
They play with Ghoul, and you know, it's really? Like anytime there's a show where that, like, oh, that makes sense. Wow. Oh, dude, they're incredible.
This is one I have not heard of. Arnold Corps?
Arno Corps. It's like A R N O C O R P S, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So you get Terminator, Arnold.
Yep.
You get.
Here, I'm going to pull it up so we can.
Wow, interesting. Okay. We got to see this. I'm going to see if I can guess. which Arnold movie each person is from.
Let's see here. This is not what I was looking at. Ah, Google image search, you suck. Yeah, they just, you know, they dress like, there we go. Arnold Corps. So we got some Predators.
Oh, that's full. Yeah, that's Predator.
Yeah, we got some Predator. We got some... That's got to be the singer with the cigar in his mouth. Yeah, they're fun. They're highly entertaining if you like kind of, you know, gag.
Oh, so they don't all dress from different movies. They do a different movie each show?
I don't know. Sort of? They're just like the Arnold Corps. They're just like Arnold-based soldiers of...
Arnold Schwarzenegger-based.
Soldiers of music. Someone was hammered and high at a party and went, we're going to do a band.
We're going to do it.
It's going to be Arnold...
Well, I mean, that piece of shit dude from Every Time I Die also had Austrian Death Machine. That was his Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, really?
Themed metal band. Yeah.
I did not know about that one either.
It sucks because it's a hilarious, great band.
Yeah.
With such famous songs as I Need Your Boots, Your Clothes, and Your Motorcycle, and Get to the Chopper.
Get to the Chopper!
Well, yeah, that was the brainchild from that Tim Lambastis or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
That idiot's name is. I'm going to hire a hitman on Craigslist to kill my wife.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so this is what Arnold Corps does. Their song lyrics have a particular emphasis on Schwarzenegger's action roles in movies like Terminator, Predator, and Total Recall, with many telling the... the plots of the movies in the lyrics. So they're just kind of like what the Misfits did with horror movies.
Yeah.
and then there's a publicity stunt where they accused several Hollywood movie studios of stealing the mythology of Austria from their...
What?
They created this whole mythology around them. And, so.
So they don't do songs about twins or...
Well, no. They have
Kindergarten Cop.
They kickstarted a campaign to fund their latest project, the Fantastic EP, which covers the Conan films. Maybe they'll get to twins at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be fantastic.
That'd be good. Wow.
So I helped out for a couple of shows. One of my buddies' bands that no longer is active, they were called... His name is Robert Paulson.
Oh, of course.
And it's a Brad Pitt themed thrash band.
Okay.
So each song was a different Brad Pitt movie.
Oh.
And so the lyrics were about
the movie.
And each song would start with a different sample. Cool, fun, great songs. Like they were pretty fun and intricate.
You got 12 Monkeys song?
Yep.
Please? Okay, good. That would be number one for me if I was going to do a Brad Pitt-based band.
I think my first choice would be the Life of Benjamin Button.
So there wasn't a Benjamin Button song.
But...
yeah, but there was Troy. Troy 7, 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, those seem all appropriate.
Inglourious Bastards. If you're going to do a song.
Was there one yet?
Was that movie too recent?
No, I can't fully remember. I'll get back to you guys on it. But Fight Club. You can probably there was a Fight Club.
It has to be a Fight Club.
That seems too that seems too easy.
Well, I mean, the band's name was called. His name's Robert Paulson.
His name is Robert Paulson, so they kind of had to.
Ocean 11, Ocean's.
Although California, that's my favorite. Brad Pitt is him. California. Him just he did a couple movies where he's just like stoned on a couch.
Yeah.
No, that's
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah,
Thelma and Louise
and True Romance. He's like the roommate. He's just like on a couch high. That's like, hey, can you do
early in his career?
Can you snack and be high on a couch and like look nice but also
just
messy?
Look nice.
Can you just look bummy hot? Like
that's but, bummy hot. That's exactly what he looks like.
Can we see like two of your eight abs?
Yeah,
like
two of them.
Yeah, just two.
Just the lower.
I thoroughly enjoyed him in that stupid new Sandra Bullock movie.
Oh, it was great. That would be a really, really short song though.
Oh, was it good?
I found it entertaining. It's not a bad movie.
No, actually, it was really entertaining. It's just that I thought he was going to have a much bigger part.
Why are you so good looking? My father was a weatherman.
My father was a weatherman.
That's a great line.
Oh, that's funny because he was the weatherman for the Jim Jefferies show.
Yes, he was, and that was incredible. That he
everything
would come
is on fire.
And that apparently Jim Jefferies said that was his idea. He like pitched that to him. I don't think they paid him anything. He just wanted to do it because he thought it was funny. And I think he and Jim are friends.
That's
and
awesome.
That's kind of the person he is.
Yeah, I love that.
Like,
it kind of seems like it. I don't know. There's something about Brad Pitt. It seems like he's probably a pretty good dude.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
I want him to be.
Yeah, I'll cameo in Deadpool 2 and be the Vanisher and Sky. So you see me for like a second when I'm electrocuted?
Yeah, watch the Lost City. Really, you can just watch like the first 20 minutes if you don't want to watch the whole thing. If you want to enjoy his part. Not to give anything away there.
It wasn't bad at all. It was good.
It was dumb.
I need to see that Channing Tatum booty with the leeches.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see it. Like, how'd you like that Thor trailer? They went all in on taking his clothes off and having everybody pass out staring at his godly member, apparently.
His godly member.
Wouldn't you?
Probably. I feel lightheaded all of a sudden. I mean, when have we gotten to see a God's wiener? The only one I can think of is Watchmen. Right?
Definitely Watchmen.
Watchmen. It was blue.
Both movie and TV show.
Movie and TV gave God wieners. Jackass 4 gave us a Godzilla wiener.
Yep.
That's not a God
that,
exactly.
That Godzilla dong. I just watched that last night with my buddy again.
I watched the 4.5.
Forever was so good.
The 4.5 is out too, and I watched that.
Oh, I still need to see that.
Yes. I started it.
Yes.
And more kids came in the room.
More penises.
Like, yeah, I don't know if I want to watch this with my children.
This is uncomfortable.
Reason they were able to get away with that much dick was because they were all flaccid.
Yeah, no hard dicks. That's how you get an X rating.
Yeah. That's the legit rule for the MPA.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. Yeah. And then there's like certain kinds of simulation that'll get you in trouble.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, they have to. Can you imagine? Imagine the insanity of that rule. That's like saying, oh, we'll show your tits, but only if your nipples aren't hard. There's like, look, I only have so much control over that. And especially in Jackass, they're like, tugging them left and right.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think there's any possibility that it could have been anything other than flaccid.
Just brutalized.
Yeah.
I guess if somebody gets off on that, which some people do, so.
Pontius is.
Yeah, squeeze it harder.
Pontius is
make
so.
Make it flatter.
Dude, when they squish between the two pieces of plastic, I almost died.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then played ping pong. Is that what they did? They turned that into
played ping pong.
They turned it. They connected
and
their wieners.
And then he said he could never be president.
As if he had a chance.
Yeah. Up until now.
Actually, I that's never mind. I take that back.
Yeah. I'll vote for Pontius, honestly.
Yeah.
What's really becoming more real, Idiocracy or Southland Tales?
That's pretty good.
That's the question.
I don't know.
Southland Tales, what was that?
Oh, look it up.
I like Southland. Southland was a great show that got canceled way too soon.
Southland Tales was the second movie done by the guy that did Donnie Darko.
And, oh, really?
And it's even more weird and pretentious because it's only half of the story, because it was supposed to be this whole multimedia type thing that was supposed to be like the first four chapters were going to be comic books or novels. And then it was going to be the movie and then something else. There was going to be a director's cut that was going to have more stuff. But
I'm sold on Cast Alone.
The Rock is
The Rock. Sean William Scott. So we're mid-2000s, right? We're like post-American Pie.
It's a very weird... I liked it. Like, but it's okay if you don't like it.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to be one of those people like with the Donnie Darko...
Booger.
They're like, oh, it's from so amazing.
Yeah. Booger's the best.
Booger from Revenge of the Nerds, Curtis Armstrong.
Yes.
Nora Dunn from Saturday Night Live.
So many Saturday Night Live.
Janine Garofalo. What the fuck is this?
Off the face of the
I think Molly Shannon's in it. Sherry Terry's in it.
And Sarah really? Michelle Gellar.
Wow. So yeah. There you go.
Yeah. It's creepy how weird, like it's almost Simpsons creepy how weird a lot of like this fake future is, like, oh shit, some of that is actually kind of
Southland Tales.
All right, I'm watching it.
In.
Oh yeah, there's a Timberlake's
Faye. In it.
Yeah, what's her name?
Amy Poehler. By Ling.
There you go.
John
Lithgow.
John Larroquette.
Oh, Larroquette, sorry.
How do you confuse those?
I got the L right. How I got you, the John and the L right.
Larroquette and Lithgow. Oh, you don't know your weird old white men that well.
I just don't know actors' names.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, I think it's about time we listen to a little.
Should we listen to some music?
Yeah. Sure. So we're gonna have fun because we didn't pre-select any music. No,
we've been busy.
We're gonna give you options. Here, call out some names.
Okay, so we're gonna go directly into the email.
Right to the inbox. Oh shit.
There's at least been like one or two bands each episode that I do then add to my Spotify.
Yes.
Like, oh, is this yes.
Working as intended.
Okay. Right. How about this one? This is Tom from Italian emo hardcore band Amalia Bloom.
You're not supposed to say what they are.
Oh, I'm not? Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, let's emo, Italian emo hardcore.
Are the breakdowns going to just be this?
Were those Italian fingers?
Italian fingers.
I'm still not used to dumb webcam stuff and like where it gets into the...
Where it is. Please watch this one on YouTube so you can see him do.
Oh, you have them all. You've Italian fingers, up?
But just for the. Oh, okay. Just to share my screen.
A link that is actually
pudgy Irish fingers trying to be Italian.
So let's see if we can get this open here.
I'll just show. This is their Bandcamp page, so you can see.
Okay.
They look.
And they say
emo hardcore.
Full length, picturesque.
Okay, that's what's
so
on Bandcamp.
Do it on Bandcamp. Okay, yeah. Let's do this on Bandcamp then.
Yes, you can. Currently Amalia have two supporters. Bloom. Let's get them over the two line to three or four.
Okay,
five.
So we're just gonna play the song that they have up.
Silhouettes.
Yep, Silhouettes. So let's listen to Silhouettes from Amalia Bloom, or Amalia. I don't know.
Amalia.
So the guy in the glasses is the drummer.
Yes, he is.
The guy, it's true, the guy always looking away is the bass player.
Singer down on the bottom.
Singer,
Okay, we're 1 minute in. I like it so far.
Yeah?
I think it's, yeah, it's not, it's actually not what I was expecting.
No.
It sounds like late 90s, pre-mallcore emo.
Yeah, except with the screaming, because they didn't, the original sort of pre-mallcore emo didn't have so much of the screaming in it. Right? Or what are you thinking of?
Yeah, I'm thinking of like the bands that now, because nu metal was my thing, I was totally against emo. Because I was dealing with my tough boy emo bands in the nu metal scene. Like, that was when I was digging on my fucking Stained and whatnot. You know, like we're ugly and we live in shitty cities and my parents keep touching me. Like, that's the emo that I like.
Is that what happened to Aaron Lewis?
None of that related to me whatsoever. I was like, I don't understand these lyrics, but these guitar parts are rad. This is a cool drum beat. And, I'm thinking of the people that would be on like the Ramen House or whatever. Like with Fall Out Boy or.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Early Thursday, maybe.
Thursday.
That's like the breathy scream. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, I'll make
I thought you were talking like, Kurt, like yeah. Because yeah, I guess late 90s. Yeah.
So we got the members all wrong because we can zoom in on their banner.
Oh, hey, look at that.
And we can see that Glasses is the bass player.
Yeah, Glasses is the bass player.
Drummer didn't even make the photo, but I think drummer's kneeling down. I think singer's this guy.
It looks like...
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
We bungled that one. Sorry, guys. Well, good. You don't look your part.
I was 1 for 5.
I wouldn't, if you sent me this picture, I wouldn't in a million years guess these guys were Italians from Italy. I would go like Detroit, you know, somewhere in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, they're.
But Canada?
They're Napa hipsters.
Ooh, yeah. All right, I want to listen to some more of this.
All right.
I'm going to scoot forward a little bit here.
Yeah, and it's kind of that. It also makes it kind of like
what was that?
Like with the guitaring, where like it's not super distorted, mm-hmm. is kind of like the genre of like the noodlers, like the Dance Gavin Dance people, the Ides of Man, those kind of
the Swan things. Fest bands.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. However, it's less. Bad Cop, Good Cop.
Yeah, the two voices are closer to
they're
each other.
Closer to each other, which I really kind of like, actually. It's like the way that they're singing, I don't know if it is a they. I think it is a one person, probably, because I don't really hear the backing vocals. But it is. It's like singing, sort of scream singing, screaming, back to sort of scream singing, and it's like sort of like one... It's like one lane where yeah. it varies. It's not too
yeah. It's
distinct.
Like it's like the guitar players like cut full distortion and then they roll back the volume knob a little bit and the breakup
yeah.
stops
yeah.
and then they roll it forward and you get a little bit more grit and yeah. then you roll
the
it out all the way.
The vocal is doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Yeah,
so that means he has guitar up here to his kidding.
I think I would have liked this better than most of what we saw at Swan Fest if they had been there playing.
Yeah.
Sorry. We keep harping on that.
I know.
None of those bands are listening to us.
No.
Except for Moontooth. Sorry, John. There's your breathy.
That's cool.
Drummer's working that cymbal so hard for like a mellow part.
I really like that.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Actually,
and
I liked it more as we listened to it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Fuck nice. Yeah.
Check him out.
All right.
Italian, emo, hardcore, Amalia Bloom.
What else do we have
Thanks, Tom.
In the email?
Let's see what else we have in the email. We have, let's see, we got nine layers deep.
Ooh, sounds like a burrito I'm going to smash later today.
The Mike Dubose.
Let's do nine layers deep.
Breaths. Okay, nine layers deep.
Nine layers deep.
Is this like a seven-layer dip?
Or is it like a hell thing?
Yeah.
Are we descending through Dante's Inferno? God, who's at the ninth layer?
We are a stoner I'm not supposed to say that. Never mind. Sorry. Okay. Okay, let's do this. Nine layers deep on Bandcamp. Let's see if they have a open secret. I'm trying to see if... Okay, open secret.
Do you want to know what the ninth circle of hell is?
Ooh, what is it like?
According to Dante's Inferno, it is a frozen lake. Oh. The ninth circle itself is divided into rings of increasingly bad sections with the worst in the center. The people who are sent to the ninth circle are the people who have betrayed the trust of someone or something close or special. So these are people who betrayed their children. And the examples, you know, there are real people in the Inferno. They like he describes real people who would, in his theology, would belong there. And like you look up what they did in history and they're all like killed their children or like deceived their husband or yeah, it's ninth circle is heavy stuff.
Wow. So
which sounds this is? Proper, like
yeah,
a proper piece of shit.
Yeah, and at the very center, I believe, is Judas because he betrayed Jesus. So, like in Dante's world, there is no one worse than Judas.
Well, this one is fairly appropriate because some of the I'm not going to say what the music sounds like, but they wrote in. They just said that "Open Secret" is about the resistance that women face in the music industry. Individual music scenes, jobs, and the world in general. Rock, Mandian, and Unchained. Open Secret reflects on how all women are asked to repeatedly bleed themselves dry over and over for the very people that try so hard to keep them in submission and strip them of their rights. All right.
All right.
Timely.
I'm in.
Okay. Open Secret. Okay, nine layers deep. Is this the right? Yeah, okay.
Sharing.
One minute in.
It's fucking grimy.
Yeah. Sludgy.
That's good. So that's a guitar and a baritone.
A guitar and a baritone.
A baritone guitar. So
that means there's no bass.
No bassy bass, but you can play a baritone low enough that it's bass-like. You're not going to get exactly the same sound, but it didn't sound too like missing frequencies to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I liked it, actually.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It was weird because there was so much like... It sounds goofy, but there was like anger in the vocals, but they weren't breaking up. So even though she was screaming, it wasn't like it wasn't getting that raspy breakup when you scream that loud and hard that usually happens.
It's not my full on cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how it would sound live. Like,
exactly.
To hear kind of like the mix of it live. Maybe it would sit better in my ears.
Yeah, it was a little unusual of a mix. The drums were kind of in a weird spot, but whatever. That's over Zoom too.
So where's the Should we guess where the guitar solo is?
There's no guitar solo. There's a part where they set the guitars on the ground and just kind of step on the strings for a little while, I hope.
All right, I'm going to scoot forward. This is like a almost 7 minute long song.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to go halfway through.
So maybe it'll be at 5:45 or 6:12.
There'll be a breakdown of some sort.
When everything starts breaking apart.
Two-thirds, there will be some sort of.
Halfway through.
Just listening to Lateralis yesterday. There's a part that sounds
just like that. Okay, let's check out that. You said 5:45 suites.
I'm just going to kind of go out quiet.
Yeah.
I liked it. Again, I like this better the more it played.
The more it plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be good live. I think it would be intense.
I'd be really intense.
I suspect they have lots of gear.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I miss a bass, though, because I want something low-end rumbling along with those drums at the same pace as the drums and not with the guitars.
I like the way this goes out, actually.
Yeah.
It's going to just slowly fade out, repeating this pattern. Yeah, that's cool. I would love to see that live. For sure.
Where are you guys from? Buffalo, New York. A notoriously lovely place.
Trying to bring thoughtful and simply crushing doom metal to the masses and forcing you to choke on their wonderfully bitter sonic pill.
Yeah, so there's definitely probably like 7 cabs.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, there's a lot of, like, women singing, fronting doom bands, but most of it's not like this. Most of it's, like, Broom, or where it's, like, the contrast of the pretty, soft vocals with the loud, crushing music, and she's like, nah, I'm not.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing.
She's like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Nah.
I'm going to fucking spit all over the mic.
I'm going to get in your face.
Get raunchy.
Tell you to fuck off.
Awesome. You know, or there's that, the old local band, Bog Oak, that had the lady screamer. They were pretty rad.
I never saw them. There's a period of local music where you were probably at shows constantly where I was taking care of small children. So I missed a good chunk of like the 2000, like the 2000 to 2010, you know, probably a decade there where, because I stopped playing in a band in 99 and I stopped that because I was too busy working in raising kids, which also curtailed my going out to see new bands all the time. I wasn't at a practice studio anymore, so like you forget how much influence that has. Just hanging around at Music Inc, you get to see and hear, you know, on a given night. The night we practice is the same night that Deathgrave practices. So Greg Wilkinson with his silky hair will be there, and then you know you just never know who's going to show up and play.
Oh, they're at Music Inc now.
Oh yeah, the Deathgrave practices in San Jose now, baby.
Oh no, we used to High Sorcery shared a room with them at 3B.
Oh, you guys did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Fern's down here. I think Greg's in Oakland, but she teaches at San Jose State.
So. Yeah, they're playing with Voivod near the Cobra in June.
Deathgrave?
No, this Nine Layers Deep.
Oh, nice. Oh, they're playing that tour. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Deathgrave, I think, is playing tomorrow, or they're playing today.
Deathgrave?
Yeah, I think they're playing today in Oakland somewhere.
Yeah, and there's also that other big stoner fest in.
Yeah, Heavy Psych Sounds Fest in San Francisco is ongoing today. they lost three or four of the main bands and had to replace them last minute, but they pulled it off. Yeah, Weed Eater ended up with COVID. I'm shocked that they didn't follow health protocol. I can't believe it.
What?
they got hit with COVID, but Bongzilla didn't?
Huh. No, Bongzilla made it.
Because they played last night.
They must not have shared the bong.
All right.
What do you got? Let's do
I'm
one.
I'm just going to... Let's just do some names real quick.
Okay.
Moonshade, Enfin, Belushi Speedball.
Oh, come on. Belushi Speedball.
Okay.
Wait, Belushi, not Belushi Speedball?
Belushi.
Oh, Belushi.
Like John Belushi.
Yeah, I was going to be like, yeah, dude, Belushi Speedball. See, that goes...
I thought you said splooshy.
Splooshy Speedball.
That's equally funny, and I would check that out, too.
I'm going to search that on Pornhub and see what comes
us
up.
Worry? Okay. Oh, whoa. Look at the picture of the band. Oh
artwork. I'm sharing it. Here we go. Belushi Speedball.
Okay.
Is it in poor taste? Probably.
Oh, okay. So do we need to just listen to the song called Ripping Off Municipal Waste?
Is that legit one of the song
that
titles?
Is the opening song of the album.
Yes.
Is the album What Us Worry?
Yes.
As in What Me Worry? As in Mad Magazine?
Mad Magazine.
Holy shit. This is already incredible.
Okay.
That Belushi
Speedball.
First appearance cover looks hilarious, too.
And what is that? Is it like a weird cat? Oh, it's an alien cat. Like the movie Aliens. Alien
with a cat, with
but a cat as the alien
with another cat,
and there's another cat
coming out of its mouth, just like the alien mouth.
And look at his belly. There's a cat coming out of his belly, like alien.
Okay, wait, Justin, please tell me. In the background of their main page, is that a shit monster or is that a brown wiener with with teeth and one eye?
I can't see the whole thing.
I can't either. We gotta find what it's.
It's gotta be one of the album.
I shit you not. That's a sentence I just said because that's what's on.
Is it a giant poo or a penis
or a brown penis with teeth and
with teeth.
Oh, okay. Here's the Punisher one. The Frank Castle picnic.
That's Stan Lee. And he's shooting Stan Lee. What a dick!
What a dick! I like how the Punisher has a mustache, though. His little logo on his chest.
Oh,
isn't that,
man,
a mustache?
That's great. That's great.
And he's wearing a baseball cap.
Someone in this band must be a comic artist.
Oh my God! All right.
Okay, we're going.
Please be good.
I was trying to find that photo, so I went to their Facebook page. I think we're going to need to watch the music video for Can't Rock Steady Without Bebop.
What?
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, first we need to hear them ripping off municipal waste.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll just go to a video afterwards. Okay. Let's try it.
So I'm a hypocrite. Stole this guitar with original music.
Well done.
Well done. I mean, the song titles.
So it's just a big impressed. It's just a big brown demon.
Okay.
I guess it's one of their albums called Ultra Diablo versus Kaiju.
Okay.
Ultra Diablo versus Kaiju.
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 Kaiju. Oh, that sounds familiar.
Kaiju is like giant Japanese monsters.
Oh, that's like the name. That's what they're called. So like Godzilla is a kaiju.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. That's why it sounds familiar.
Because we just followed around a giant Godzilla costume all day yesterday. Guy really committed to huge foam Godzilla cosplay.
Awesome.
All right, Belushi Speedball. Oh, so you said there's a video on their Facebook?
Yeah.
These guys
can't rock steady without Bebop. Holy shit. All right, give me the, I need the audio
what
cable.
What album is it on?
I'll just play the video off here.
Oh, holy shit.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Oh,
yeah,
we
have to have full syncage with this
one. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to make sure. Let me know if you can hear this once I start playing it.
This is...
Could you hear that, Justin? No? All right.
No.
That means I got to switch this over here to speakers. Yeah. You hear the dinglings, Justin? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just maximize this bad boy.
Share the screen.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing is I spun up right there. What are you gonna do with that tiny thing?
You fools. Never underestimate the power of a Tin Wax Squire practice amp.
Appease me with your music.
That's incredible.
I'm going to have to show that to my cousin Dan.
Yes.
Wow.
You can get the...
This was posted like 3 years ago.
Yeah, you can get their entire discography on Bandcamp for $12.60.
Everybody can do that.
Yes.
I'm going to follow them right now.
That'll get you all of the albums. What Us Worry, Stella 1 and Stella 2. This Is What We Look Like. Prepare for Trouble. Oh my God, there's a lot of... Regretfully endorsed by Señor Diablo.
Do you think these guys have to like tour? And I feel like I would see them at the Ritz.
Yeah,
at some
yeah.
point in time.
Metalachi and
yeah,
and Arno Core and
exactly Arno Core. Yeah.
No, there's a song called Noam Chomsky. Gnome.
Noam Chomsky.
They would have probably played with Psycho Stick.
Yes.
Oh my God.
All right.
This is pretty amazing.
All right. Take a break and show off some shit.
Yeah. Should we show off some shit?
I got something.
All right.
I went to my favorite local instrument store whose hat I'm not wearing but should be. Starving Musician. And I got myself every pedal user's best friend, Deoxit. This is the shit you have to spray into it to clean all the grime off your knobs if your pedals sound crappy. Get inside the body with some of this and it'll take care of everything. So. That's exciting.
I swear, I am positive that you have shared this before.
I probably did.
That sounds goofy.
I'm afraid you're going to
air sprayer, but
shoot it in your face, Joe.
Yeah, be careful with that.
I'm going to deox my face.
To go along with this fine vintage Electro-Harmonics Dr. Q envelope follower, which I have never heard or seen or used, but I will try any envelope filter or follower I can find on the market, especially old ones.
Wait, what's the difference between a filter and a follower?
I think it's just a naming thing.
Semantics?
I think it's just, but so, I was going to look it up live on air. Because I was there to get other stuff and I was like, oh, I haven't heard of that one. It was cheap. I'm going to grab that and check it out. It has a weird ass power plug, like quarter or like eighth inch headphone jack looking power plug. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
What I hate about all old Electro-Harmonics pedals.
The power supply.
They're like the Apple of guitar effects. Each one has their own stupid dongle effect, you know.
Interesting. All right. Here's
Dr. Q, baby.
Ooh, they think it's worth $110. This model used on Reverb, I certainly didn't play anything like that. If you want classic funk sounds, the vintage Electro-Harmonics Dr. Q envelope filter is the pedal for you. First manufactured in 1976.
Looks like it.
It's perfect for both bass and guitar. Look, it has a switch. So you switch bass or guitar or bass.
But it says amp.
No, that's the...
Oh.
That's the label. Oh, that's labeling okay. The jacks for you, buddy.
Oh.
Bass, it's what it is. Is it's bass.
Or not bass.
And not bass. Yeah.
Will there be a hum or no hum?
Yeah, the old Mutrons had that too because they were built for bass players, but then like keyboard players and guitar players started using them. But the frequencies that are going into this have a total effect on how the modulation works. So if you're a guitar player, you use a bass envelope filter that doesn't allow you to change the frequencies, it doesn't work right, essentially. So damn, I'm excited about that. It's got a battery compartment, so at least I can try it out before I figure out what fucking power supply I need. But that was very exciting. I love a good vintage pedal find.
Where did you find it?
Starving Musician.
Oh, all right.
And they had a Mutron, an old Mutron too, but only the bass mode worked, which is fine for me. But it was selling for $700.
It's because it's an old Mutron.
I had one. I sold it like 20 years ago.
I don't even know what that means.
Mutron is like the original envelope filter that every funk bass player in the 70s had. Box was like this big. We'll just look at it.
Every funk or prog dude had a Mutron.
Yeah, you had to have one.
Nice.
And it's been copied so many times.
That was always the fun thing of working at Starving when I was there, especially because it was like during the time of like the beginnings of like Cropburner and stuff. So it was like I never had a good enough rig to compete with Jeff and his like vintage orange
amp.
And his fucking Gibson. So like every show, I always had a different rig because I would just borrow bass gear.
Just borrow stuff.
Yeah, just to be like, is this going to work? Is this going to work? Like, I went through a bunch of different random like gear that shouldn't exist. Like, I had this old Ampeg. Like, it wasn't an SVT. It wasn't in a V. It wasn't an R or whatever. But it was in one of the weird transitional periods. Like, it was a bass amp, but it was a series made out of like old parts. So like, it was this weird thing. Like, I couldn't find really any information on it, but it was still a 102 watt head, and like it was cool, but it just still didn't give me the oomph that I needed to fight that fucking head.
It's so funny because a 100 watt head for guitar is like mind melting. It's fucking super loud. Same 100 watt amp for bass doesn't really do the trick. The Ampeg SVT that everybody uses is 300 watts, and my Bridge City is 400 conservatively. So this is a $1,500 vintage Musitronics Mutron 3.
Wow.
And I had this exact pedal.
Interesting.
Yeah. So don't sell your pedals.
Don't sell your pedals.
The box.
So what do you?
I almost bought one of those in 2001 from Nichols Music that doesn't exist anymore. When it was $200, I was like, oh, that's expensive.
That's pretty spendy, man.
Are we?
We get the Deoxit
working for a sponsorship
close to
here.
The screen and Deoxit.
But I got in.
Oh, what'd you get? What'd you get?
Record.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, you brought yours.
Hey, look, I got one of those.
Twinsies.
Look at that.
Oh, you.
Oh, yeah. That, my God, that was another one that I listened to so much.
The acoustic?
At the beginning of the pandemic, that acoustic.
The Violent Grief Sessions.
And I watched that video so many times.
Oh.
Aw, what?
The covers songs aren't on this.
Oh, yeah, they're not on there.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of one of the reasons why I bought it. So, funny enough.
And also to support the band.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, of course.
Actually, you know what? You know what, John and Nick? I got a little beef. During the pandemic,
I did buy some stuff.
I bought some of them pint glasses, and they didn't survive one wash.
Oh, man.
And now I just have blank pint glasses. Sad face that boy, because I can't buy
the ink washed off?
The what?
The ink washed off?
The whatever, the adhesive for the Moontooth logo washed off. But I have the little beanie.
Nice. You just have some Moontooth pint glasses that are blank.
They're just pint glasses.
Just get Sharpie and just write Moontooth. Or send them back to John and he'll sign them or paint them.
I don't know where they are anymore because they're just blank pint glasses.
They just disappeared. So really, it could just be any blank pint glasses. Any.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny.
You did this! But whatever, I get it. Funny enough, so during the pandemic, you know, we, like all bands, we were trying to, because we couldn't record and this and that, and then we were doing our drummer problem.
Your drummer problem. Yeah.
Yeah, we were dealing with that. We were then like, oh, let's try to, now that there's one less person who can't say yes or no, let's try to figure out a cover song to play, guys. Which is always going to be a band fight. And funny enough, Skip, our singer, who he always wants to do either a slightly obscure song, or if it is going to be kind of a famous song, like change it up. Don't do Super Nuts On. And he brought up wanting to do Fiona Apple's Run As Fast As You Can. And it's like, yeah, that'd be great, dude. That's a cool song.
Fuck that song. That song's hard.
Yes. And then some little band from New York called Moontooth fucking decides to do an acoustic set. And that song goes on, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Because every weird song that we wanted to try to do covers of, every fucking band kept coming up every other week with, oh, here's this cover. And we're just sitting there
you gotta talk somebody into covering Captain Beefheart.
No, because I don't like Captain Beefheart. and when my uncle was in it, they weren't even the Captain Beefheart that people know of Captain Beefheart. He did he was on one single of a cover of Doo-Wah Diddy.
Yeah, okay.
And then Ry Cooder fucking replaced him. They left my uncle mid-tour, at one of the stops because he was such a dick.
Oh, this is the one you don't talk to, yeah.
Yeah, or about my Uncle Richard or Dick.
Bruno. We don't talk about...
Dick was a dick.
We don't talk about Dick.
Last time I saw him was my grandma's funeral, and he was talking to me I knew him for 30 years when I was only 18. And
easy there, Dick.
He was just hey, man, da-da-da-da, and I'm who the fuck are you? And then he was asking me all these weird personal questions. Why don't you ask them? I don't know you.
So I saw you had other records. Did you show everything?
Oh, yeah. So it was out of the most newest ones, because there's still a bunch that I haven't opened up yet. But I got the Cave-In. I got the Moontooth acoustic. The Beer Splattered.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the one I have.
Probably.
And then
Phototroph. If you haven't listened, if you have been at all even vaguely interested in a Moontooth, listen to that record, Phototroph. What really surprised me about it is how much they throw back to dumb 80s hard rock in the most awesome ways. Mm-hmm. I just keep hearing Nick, you were in a bedroom somewhere watching MTV and fucking Motley Crue came on. And you were like, that's what I want to do with my life. But then none of the songs sound like those songs. But you just get those little hits, little flavors. And it's so, it's such good nostalgia for me. Because I don't have to listen to Poison. I can listen to a song I actually like. But then remember why I liked certain parts of those songs. Why they were exciting. Yeah. How about you? What'd you get, JD? And then we're going to play a fun game.
Well, I did the Moontooth.
Yeah, you did the Moontooth.
And I also picked up, I've been picking up, like I said last week, lots of 90s albums that I used to listen to. So this Refused.
Yes.
Shape of Punk to Come.
Yes.
This album is incredible. I mean, this is to me, this is where sort of the first hardcore band that was like, you know what, we're gonna like get funky, we're gonna do like some we're gonna do samples and we're gonna use a synth and we're gonna get some like electronic beats in there, but we're still gonna be, you know, angry and we're gonna sing about real issues.
and that's what I liked about that record.
Yeah, it was so good.
I've never listened to it.
I'll
have to listen to it.
I think it also pissed off a bunch of hardcore kids. Like, what the fuck is this, like, and electronica stuff? What is this? What are these beats? What is this bass in here? You're like, oh no, this is some game changing shit right here. Yeah,
yeah. That was always kind of like the music fan that I was. Like, I never fully like stuck into like one genre, but I would always like the band. I would always like either the Blueprint band or like the band who took the Blueprint and like just turned left,
yeah,
you know, like just skewed it just a little bit. And it's like, yeah, that's what makes this band different than the 50 bands that sounds the same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's the things that I've also always kind of wanted to do with any of the bands that I've been a part of. You know, to be like, why do I want to play this? I want to make sure that I want to listen to my own band, because why make the music if I don't want to fucking listen to it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This podcast is totally affecting me too, as we were writing new music, because I'm going to make goddamn fucking sure there isn't a guitar solo 2/3 of the way through any of these new songs. Not a chance. And like
the 2/3 rule.
And I want the sales of Charon audacity of the guitar solo to start the fucking song. Yeah,
seriously.
Here's your guitar solo right up your ass. Second one. God, I love that song. All right, so this is a new game I just came up with, which will be hilarious, and it's called JD Picks a Pedal for Jeff. So I'm on the Deals and Steals pedals page on I'm Reverb.
JD picks a pedal.
As long as it's under $200. So we're just going to scroll.
Really?
Uh-huh. We're just going to scroll, and you're going to pick one that you like that's not this $450 pedal.
Shouldn't you change the parameters to max $200?
Yeah, I guess I could do that. All right.
I'm max. Come on, make it easy on JD. Like, he already doesn't know what the pedals do.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you if it's like wildly inappropriate.
Are these all bass pedals?
No, but I don't only use bass pedals.
All right,
so we're scrolling.
I can't even. Oh, what the fuck? What's that? Pigtronics. Mothership. Mothership 2 analog synth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pigtronics.
I've had their pedals before. I've never played the synth. I don't currently have a synth pedal on my board.
What does a synth pedal do?
Makes the instrument sound like
a synth.
Like a synth. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, they're in Ogden, Utah.
Oh, Mark's gets here out. All right, I'm gonna.
Probably got family out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go. Okay, I got that one saved.
Okay, save that one. Let's see. We've got Metalizer, the Lake Effect.
Don't read too hard. Mostly just look at them.
Oh, you just want me to...
Like, pretend like you're picking out a book. You're at the sci-fi and fantasy section at the bookstore, and you're just going to pick a book.
How about...
Without reading the backs.
Oh, okay. What's
that one with the eagle?
Cockfighting.
The Electro-Harmonics Cockfight Talking Wah Fuzz. Done.
There you go. I think you need a cockfight pedal.
All right.
So, is one of the YouTube dudes? He's the angry Canadian guy, long hair, that hates bass players,
and he always yells. He's always all his video titles are why does this suck? And
drummers, bass players, learn your part. But like he created pedal, the cock block. And it's a noise suppressor.
The cock block pedal.
It's a noise suppressor, of course.
Yeah, and
it's perfect.
So I ordered that, and that was one of my COVID buys. But like I had to wait like half a year for it to fucking finally show up when I pre-ordered it. I've used it maybe once. I bought so much gear thinking I was going to become like an in the bedroom kind of musician person. But then, like, the dudes in the band realized we had a big enough space where we could be 7 feet apart from each other. So we were just like, no, we just need to find a reason to get out of the house. So we just kept, and we were paying for the studio, so we just kept going back there. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sell all this stuff that I bought like an idiot.
That's too funny.
All right. It has been ordered.
So are you going to record it? Are you going to record with it so we know what it sounds like?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll record a little sample.
Play it on a bow, upcoming bow, show.
Bow. It's going to sound like, bow, 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 bow.
Yeah, just like that.
I'm curious because I have like one of the most sought after like vocal formant kind of talky sounding pedals. This pedal called the Little Dipper, and I started using it a lot more lately.
Little Tipper.
Little Dipper.
Oh,
and
it's just the Little Tipper,
and it is a completely rad pedal. I should let you play it sometime, Justin. The TWA Little Dipper. It makes the craziest. Like they thought I was talking into my pickups. Because it makes the craziest, and you can change the form, the shape of the like the vocalization. There's all these different options. It's fun as hell. So we'll see.
So this sounds like one of those pedals that also needs like a riser for you to do hand motions instead of having to lean over, like the Rainbow Machine.
Yeah,
like, I feel like that needs to be like on a riser. So you can play and then like
and tweak it. Yeah, I have a
dreams and nightmares.
I have a few like that where it's like the true shoegaze bands where they're just laying down, twisting knobs on their pedal boards and never even like stand up for the entire set. But yeah, that would be one where that I have a few where that would actually be useful. But and you know what I did buy once and it actually works. It's a little fucking weird, and I should get it out again, is one of the companies makes, you can put it any pedal that has, an expression jack. So you can map one of the knobs to the jack and then change it, and it's a ring that senses motion. And so you can go, like, you can set it to change, like, the speed of something, and then you can, like do hand motions like a fucking wizard and make.
Oh, isn't that Audio Source?
I think Source Audio made it. Yeah,
Source Audio. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can have like a wizard ring that makes your pedals change, and it was fun. It was really fun. I don't know why I stopped using it.
Because it's a gimmick.
Yeah, kind of. Well, you don't really know. Like people don't really know. It's like if you ever saw
like
Jimmy
an Ebo.
Yeah, kind of like an Ebo. You might like. They go, wait, his arm's moving and the sound is changing, but it wouldn't necessarily register this what was happening. But yeah, cool. All right, you just picked me a pedal.
Thanks. All right. I can't wait to hear it.
You're welcome.
I'm so excited.
And if I don't like it, I'll just sell it.
Exactly.
That's the nice thing about reverb.
Exactly.
It's funny. They're not the same, but like a synth pedal and a like a fuzz wah are like two staples for.
Oh really?
For me, where I'm looking for other options.
Oh.
So. That could have worked out.
Did you have your search filters set up that way so that? I couldn't pick a bad pedal?
No. There were some shit pedals in there.
There were some shit pedals in there.
I was really glad you didn't go for one of those Dan Electro, like, dad board pedals. Or there's some stuff that's not for me.
That's awesome. Should we get into new feature real quick?
Yeah, we're running out of time, so we got time for one more thing.
I think we've got time for a speed round.
Okay.
I think we're just going to keep doing the speed round.
We're speed if you have the time to develop...
I've got the time to develop. We're just going to do some of the same ones, and then I changed some from Alyssa.
All right, speed round.
Are you ready for the speed round?
Is your mouth ready to say yes or no?
Yes or no.
This or that? Okay.
Okay, ready.
Speed round with Justin Rogers.
Okay, here we go. Tacos or pizza?
Oh, dick.
dick?
Not pizza. One of the choices.
Okay.
Pizza. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Winter or summer?
Winter.
Fries or tots?
Fries.
Oh, you bastard. Fuck. Tots is the right answer.
Man, last night I discovered the perfect setting on that air fryer for those mini tots. Holy shit, they were the best tots I've ever had in my life. Clean singing or no clean singing?
Clean singing.
Okay. Metallica or Megadeth?
He's thinking. It's a thinker.
Testament! No, Metallica.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Okay. This one, Jesus. This one we're just going to keep on here all the time. Is live album or studio album?
Oh, yes. I won't be mad either way. It's fine.
80-20.
Whoa. Okay.
Some of my favorite records are live records, like
yeah.
Alice in Chains Unplugged. You can't touch that.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And various other live records.
Fender or Gibson?
Burn them.
Neither.
You gotta pick one, man.
That's fair. Actually, from Justin, that's totally fair. Okay. He doesn't play either.
Pert yeah. or Bonham.
What?
Pert or Bonham?
Or Bonham. Neil Peart or John Bonham? Peart.
Oh.
Say it right.
That's Peart. Sorry, Peart.
That's why he didn't.
Bonham.
Okay. Ooh.
That's too Which is Bonham. Funny because I hate Led Zeppelin, but Bonham was a nutbag.
Ozzy or Ronnie James?
In total or Sabbath?
In total.
In total.
That one's easy for me.
It's rude.
You can see these his strength, hard, huh? But you know okay. he's mean.
Three.
Two, I guess three. Ozzy, he's just more catchier. Yeah. All right. I can sing more Ozzy than I can sing fucking Dio, even though like
yeah.
Rainbow in the Dark is just amazing. Like a rainbow.
Here's one. Here's one for the new metal in you. Deftones, Adrenaline or Ohms?
Oh, Adrenaline.
All right. Tool or Tool? Tool.
It'll be Opiate or Undertow Tool instead of the garbage.
No, just Tool or Tool.
Theorem and Nocturnes. Oh, Tool are a bunch of tools.
Yeah.
For the answer for last week when you guys were talking about Tool live stuff, Opiate has two live tracks, which is yes,
which are insane.
Jerk Off and
right,
that other song, not it part of
Reggae Mother Be Motherfuckers Out of Here.
Yeah. And then yeah. there's also Salival, which okay, yeah. So the one time a live version of a song became better than a studio track would be Tool Salival's version of Push It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to go back.
They changed it up. They jammed it. They jammed it out a little bit before Tool really got pretentious with their overlong playing.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
that's fine. It's no longer for me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I also got annoyed once Primus started super jamming out
older
songs. Like,
Southbound
Pachyderm, one of my favorite songs. I don't need to hear a 20-minute fucking version of Southbound Pachyderm.
No, you're absolutely right. And actually, there's a new song. There's a song that we're writing now where I would say My Name is Mud is the primary inspiration for the bass line.
That's funny. There's actually, Tool does a really, you mentioned the live album. They do a great cover of Demon Cleaner by Caius.
Yes.
That is so fucking good. So good. All right. Here's the last question. Well, one of the last questions. And what is the silliest thing in metal?
Metal.
All of it.
Like, all of it. Just the fans, the people who take it too fucking seriously. And that's why this jackass is always going to wear either a Hawaiian shirt or now I've been wearing my tie-dye hoodie. And people are like, who is this big fucking ray of sunshine showing up to like a sweaty club where everybody's in like leather denim fucking studly dudes.
Bullets.
And here comes me being like, hey guys, you like Dave Matthews and Primus?
So you are...
Prince.
If Party Cannon was a human being...
Party Cannon was a human being.
That's you. That's a good answer.
That's amazing.
I'm gonna amend the last question.
You are?
Yes, I'm going to amend it. So suggest a new metal band that everybody should go out and listen to right now. Maybe dig into the obscure a little bit.
One of my favorite nu metal bands is a band called 40 Below Summer. They were on the outskirts of kind of like the nu metalness. They're from New York and stuff. I would say still stick to their first record, Invitation to the Show, because there's the second record they had, The Morning After, did what happened and was terrible with nu metal bands was they tried to commercialize and like get radio hits. Weren't like as aggro, but definitely that. Or I mean, I still really like Nonpoint's first record, Statement, which came out in like 2000. And these, what the different things that I like that I'll still defend about what is nu metal is they allowed different genres within the metal. So they were like, fuck you elitists, we're gonna throw in like our different melting pot cultures. So like like Nonpoint, there was they had like Puerto Ricans in it because they're from Florida, and so there's a lot of Latin influence like in the early stuff. So
yeah,
that's the stuff I like. I just like the groove. I want it to be groovy, dancey, sexy, funky.
All right.
But these guys are 40 Below Summer. They were found by Sean, the clown from Slipknot. Then they had a bunch of dumb album stuff because the label folded. But I just liked their great live, and the songs were just fun.
That is a very nu metal logo.
Oh, that is such
look, it's gross. I hate tribal anything.
It's all tribal.
It's nu metal.
It's
tribal.
Godsmacky nonsense. Like, so Jerome, my guitarist in Shed and in Disrupt the Paradigm, like, he loves Simpson tribal. And like, I remember he tried to do a tribal design for my first tattoo idea. And I was like, dude, I'm white as fuck. What do I need a tribal tattoo for? No, I'm not Kerry King. Like, I don't need none of that nonsense. But
I'm gonna have to check them out too.
Yes,
but yeah. I really like the vocalist Max from 40 Below Summer. Funny enough, he's the little kid in one of the Talking Head videos.
Oh, really?
How weird.
Yeah,
that's funny.
A lot of dreadlocks.
Now he's got dreadlocks.
Yeah,
and tribal tattoos.
And again, you're looking at them from the year 2000, so it all completely fit. Like,
no, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I never, the dumb images. Like, again, I'd still sit there and be like, yeah, you guys all look goofy as fuck. But it was just I liked the fact that like, when metal was like, you can't funk slap, like, here comes new metal people. Like, oh, yeah? We like Primus and Faith No More.
We'll funk slap you into it.
In the Bay Area, kid going like, yeah!
Yeah!
Looks watch like this. They play at a lot of festivals where Saliva and Puddle of Mud also play.
Sadly, nowadays,
probably. A lot of Midwest. Like, I'm looking at flyers.
Come to the West Coast anymore because they don't need to. They have the hillbillies.
Yeah, the middle of America.
The East Coast and the hillbillies. Yeah, middle of America.
Oh, there is definitely middle America rock.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Some people thrive on it. Some bands.
All right, Justin. Well, it has been a goddamn delight.
I know. I'm so glad we could finally have you on.
Puddle of Mud was not one of the bands I ever liked. So,
good.
I'll admit when something's shit.
Yeah.
Like, there was even like one time I played at the Caravan and someone, or one of the shows that I played somewhere, and someone put on some atrocious music in the jukebox, and of course everyone thought it was me because I'm that guy who likes to like poke the bear. And I was like, look, dude, I like nu metal. I'll admit when something's shitty, but I didn't choose this.
Yeah.
Not my shit.
Yeah. I'm not to blame this time.
Not my
this time.
Next time maybe though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got anything to plug? Any shows coming up? You guys just played last weekend.
Yeah, we just played last weekend. We're playing again. We're playing in Toots June 18th.
All right, so if you're going to be in Crockett, California, go hit up Toots and rock your face off.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you just had you just released your album digitally like a month ago, right?
Back in March, we, after trying to make that record for 2.5 years, we digitally and we physically have copies of the record.
Got some sweet.
Pretty cool. it's nice actually hearing people go, hey, I like this track, instead of like with from the first record, because we took too long to release anything physically.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's nice kind of hearing people, you know, doing like saying they feedback.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Because before it was just like, what the fuck is this? That's kind of sound new metal. It's like, well, we like new metal. We're in our
30s. Because it's an influence.
We just don't have samples, raps, or DJs. You know, like,
yeah,
we know what we lack. Corn. Corn. Yeah.
Corn. We're making up for a lot of episodes that did not feature corn. This is our mea culpa to the world of new metal.
They sound so much better with Flea and Rehab. I tell you what. Or Flea. Fieldy.
Yeah, Fieldy.
He has like Robert Trujillo's 12-year-old son is running circles around.
Oh, so crazy.
Around Fieldy.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
He served his purpose, and also he only did the clickety clackies for like 2 records.
Yeah.
It's just how it was mixed.
Yeah, that's an EQ problem. Actually really easy to fix.
Yeah, I recently did like a deep dive to like go listen to like bands like full discographies to see like, can I handle listening to just a wave of bands music, and like, oh, I've never actually listened to this record.
Weird. So I'll plug a Facebook group that's actually one of the good things on Facebook, run by Matt Bacon and Chris Latta, who are you know, people in the stoner doom scene, called Dorkscography. It's a Facebook page, and basically they pick an artist and they do full discography listens. And then just talk about them over the course of however many. They do one new record each day.
Really?
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know how you don't know.
How did I just learn about this?
I kind of lurk a lot.
Does Matt talk about it on his TikTok?
No, I don't think so.
That's probably.
I think Chris drives it mostly.
That's something that I was going to do, but I was like, oh, this is too much effort. I'm just
Someone else is doing it, so you can just hop on board and listen to some
Dorkscography public group.
Yes, all right. One of the good things on Facebook.
All right.
All right, Justin, it's been real. Happy Sunday. Happy Memorial Day. Are you off tomorrow?
Yeah, I've had a 4-day weekend. It's been kind of nice.
Hell yeah.
To unplug. Hope you guys have fun at Fanime.
Yeah, let's go get weird at Fanime Con. Yo. The butt cheeks start coming out about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. That's when the hentai
show up.
Okay.
I sat in on bass for a band at an anime festival in San Francisco a few years ago, called Anime on Display or something like that, AOD. Mm-hmm. And like, it was an anime themed band and video game themed band called Hideo. And it was this all like stage play and everything. It was pretty weird and intricate. I gotta say, playing that made, like, it was cool experience, but it just weirdly made me uncomfortable because of the age ranges that were there and like the cosplay.
Yeah. And, it can get a little awkward.
And you couldn't tell if some of the people with the ladies, it was their dads or daddies. And it was just kind of creepy. Like, so I just...
Fanime Con, they kind of separate the nighttime events from the day. The daytime's pretty... you'll see some skimpy costumes, but...
Yeah.
That's fine.
The evening stuff, the 18 plus stuff, doesn't start until later in the evening once the kids
are home. Yeah, and just the overabundance of everything there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, there are moments like that for sure. Someone who's not like in the middle of that world.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Sweet. Yep. Sweet.
Sweet. Sweet. Sweet.
All right. We will see you live and in person again soon, probably at a show somewhere.
Show. Until next time.
Until next time. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
This has been.
I've been saving that for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Screw you guys.
Screw you guys. I'm going home. Mom. Bathroom. Sorry. All right. Later, Justin.
Have a good one. Take care, buddy. All right. We finally got Justin on the show.
We got Sweets on.
Now Sweets is hilarious. Know what he sounds like.
Oh, he's a funny dude.
If you watch on YouTube, you know what he looks like.
You will.
Sweets.
All right. Well, we have an anime convention to get to.
We gotta get there. I just got a text from my child that probably is saying, are you done yet?
Yes. This has been the latest episode of
Blind
Submissions.
Submission.
Minus plugs. Subscribe, like, do all that shit.
We still need to do the germ.
I know.
We'll get on that, we'll get people. There. Sorry. We'll get on that.
We out.
Thanks for joining us for another week of Blind Submissions. See episode description for the links to all artists discussed in this episode. And visit their sites to support them directly by buying their music and merch. Share links to the podcast with your friends, especially if they're in bands. Bands, if you want us to listen to your music on a future episode, please submit one song to blindsub@gmail.com. That's blyndsub@gmail.com. Bandcamp's linked preferred, but not required. Find us on our social media at Blind Submissions. Full video episodes are available on our YouTube. Remember, we go in blind so you don't have to. Blind Submissions.
Jeff, Blind Submissions with Jeff and JD, JD and Jeff, JD and Jeff.